aggressive. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winning.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Yes! 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 Yes!
I am Pod Vader. I am here with the super fans, specifically the super fans representing the Florida teams in the NFL. And guys, I am so super, super excited because that is right. We're about that action because we've got action to talk about. The NFL preseason week one. Yeah, it's just the preseason, but it's football. We're talking about guys hitting each other. We're talking about going out there and hitting people in the mouth. It's fantastic. Daniel, our Australian, representing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Actually, you're not Australian. We're from England. What's happening?
Hey, everything's good here, but the sun could be shining, which would make things a little bit better.
And we got Ryan, representing the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's happening?
Hey, happy to be here. Happy to talk about actual football, basically.
And one of our newest super fans who seems to be making the rounds here on the show. I mean, since you've been on, Ron, you may have been on every single podcast since we've introduced you as the Dolphins super fan.
I'm being my usual overstaying my welcome self. How's everybody doing?
Not overbearing, not overstaying your welcome. That's the passion that we love to see. If you want to be a super fan and you represent the Houston Texans, we are still looking for a Houston Texans rep. Although I have a special guest coming up later in the show to talk about preseason week one. You'll have to wait and check that out. Email us nextfanup@gmail.com. That's how you can apply. That's how you can send us questions. That's how you disagree with our super fans who are also writing up week one previews. As we speak, go to facebook.com/NFU podcast or just search Next Fan Up on Facebook. You'll find it. You'll see all of our super fans have written up previews as to what you want to watch in each game. And that is exactly what we're going to talk about here in just a moment. And you can follow us on Twitter at NFU podcast. And if you do, we've tweeted out links to the Facebook page so you can check all of our writings. This is exciting, guys. This is what the super fans were made for. This is what we are all about. And we are going to get down in the nitty gritty starting right now. And with week one of the NFL preseason, Saints, Baltimore, they kick it off tonight, Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. at M&T Bank Stadium. That means we are talking about Rex, King of the Superfans, who represents the Ravens, and Chase, who represents our New Orleans Saints superfans. Apparently, Chase has got this huge reach, gentlemen. He has been all over the place, pumping up Next Fan Up. His number one thing to watch for in tonight's game is who will take the places of Pierre Thomas, Jimmy Graham, and Kenny Stills on off. Daniel, since you have the most experience as your team faces the Saints twice a year. I don't think we're necessarily going to find that out tonight, but it will be fun to watch what's happening there in New Orleans.
The thing is, last season, the offense didn't really drop off. You look at Drew Brees' numbers, fantastic. I think it's more the defensive where they're going to focus. It'll be interesting to see what Rob Ryan does in his second season and see if he can really manufacture a pass rush. But I think that's the main thing they will look for, because the preseason really is all about focusing on your team. It's not the game, you know, it's not the opposition. It's just finding out which players are really going to make the jump for you in the coming season. So I think that'll be the side of the ball that Sean Payton will be most interested in.
The second thing that he mentions, Ron, I know you're a big fan of defense, is that the defense for the Saints can't possibly be any worse this season, can it? What do you think?
No, there's no way. They've been historically bad for like a few seasons now. I got to figure they'll do a little better this time. Little bit.
And Ryan, the third thing is, can the offensive line protect Drew Brees? And I guess what we'll see tonight, because we know a lot of the starters aren't going to play that much. They may play a series or two. But ultimately, when we're watching the offensive line tonight for the New Orleans Saints, we're going to be seeing the backups. If the backups can hold up well, that might bode well for the Saints. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first preseason game, so you're just going to see a lot of the depth, or maybe lack thereof of depth, come in for the Saints. You know, I'm not really tuned into their entire offensive line. I would be interested, even though it is the first game, to see, you know, Max Unger, if he's playing at all tonight, just to see. I don't know how much chemistry you'll see, but, you know, see how he fits in there with the Saints, because he's there instead of Jimmy Graham now.
From the Ravens side of the ball, Rex points out that they're going to be looking for a backup running back. Forsett is the starter so far in camp, has been the one that is solidified at that position, but the backup job, there's been a battle between Lorenzo Taliaferro and Javorius Allen. Taliaferro, people might know from last season, obviously this year's fourth round pick, Javorius Allen, not really a household name yet, so that'll be something to watch. Also for the Ravens, rounding out the wide receiver ranks, I mean, Steve Smith, the ageless Steve Smith, is the obvious starter, but there's been some injuries, Breshad Perriman, Marlon Brown, neither of them are going to play, so it'll be interesting to watch the wide receivers and how they develop for the Ravens tonight. Also, tight end, a big question mark here for the Ravens. Crockett Gilmore is the starter. He offers the best all-around combination. We'll see a lot of the rookies, Max Williams and Nick Boyle. We love watching rookies, right, Ryan?
I was going to say, you know, we're talking about Crockett Gilmore is probably the starter, but he's an incumbent and a, you know, at least he's been there for a little bit. But Max Williams is certainly a guy that I would be excited to watch. And the Ravens, even though he's not going to play, you know, they have Breshad Perriman listed as a starter already. So that's pretty interesting to me. And the depth behind them is certainly going to be a possible concern. And Max Williams was probably the number one rookie that I would have liked to see. The back, you'll probably want to see run out there a little bit, but they also have a guy named Nick Boyle, who is another rookie tight end, and, you know, not sure about any injury situations, but those would be the guys that all Ravens fans would like to see, I imagine, especially a pick as high as a second rounder for Max Williams.
Daniel, your team has known its fair share of quarterbacks over the years. Backup quarterback seems to be something that Rex is going to be watching. Matt Schaub was brought in to be the veteran backup, but apparently North Carolina product Benner has been exciting some people at camp. So we'll be watching the backup quarterbacks after Joe Flacco leaves the field tonight.
Well, that's the thing. It's all about, you know, in case that guy goes down with injury. But we know Joe Flacco is going to be the man there. But I know all about backup quarterbacks and how important they are. It'll be interesting to see how many reps they get in the preseason and who they go into the season with their, you know, as their backup quarterback behind Joe.
So the next game on Thursday night is a game that I will be paying a lot of attention to. You know,
hello,
they say,
you play to win the game.
Of course you do. And that is the defending Super Bowl champions taking the field at Foxborough, defending it against the Green Bay Packers. This will be a game in which Tom Brady will not see the field at all. I don't know about Aaron Rodgers. My guess is if he does see the field, it will be for a brief moment. I can tell you from the Patriots side of things, I'm going to be watching Jimmy Garoppolo, who's had a very tough camp. And I'm sure you're going to be watching Garoppolo pretty closely as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I'm curious to see if he's going to do anything special. I'm hoping that he doesn't, of course, as a Dolphins fan.
Patrick mentions clearly we're going to be watching Jimmy Garoppolo for the Patriots. Another interesting name, Ron, I'm talking to you specifically as you're our Dolphins super fan. So you Patriots, has been Malcolm Butler. He has definitely been impressive in camp, and we obviously know what he did at the end of the season last year. He's certainly one that seems to be exciting Patriot fans as we look at that secondary and go, huh?
My thought on that is if Belichick was really super concerned that that secondary was bad, he would have done something. I mean, Belichick's not going to go in thinking, oh, my players are awful, let's just roll with it. I think that Patriots fans are probably, even though I don't really know who these names are, household names, I just feel like I trust Belichick when it comes to that situation. I think the Patriots fans might be freaking out a little bit more than they need to. But, you know, we'll have to see how the season plays out.
Yeah, and the other interesting aspect for the Patriots is the injury bug has hit them early here. And you might expect that team that played all the way until February that they might have a little bit more injuries here early on in camp. And to me, that's good. Get the injuries out now. Get them out of their system. We won't have to worry about them later on. The Patriots at one point had 23 or 24 people on their 90-man roster not practicing due to injury, which is fairly crazy. So we're going to be watching the running backs, and we're definitely going to be looking to see those nameless people in the secondary. For the Packers, Daniel, I'd like to get your thoughts here on what you think we should be looking for from Green Bay. One of the main things listed here by our Packers super fan is special teams. So that's always an interesting aspect of the game to watch.
I don't know who their return man is, but I don't think they produced the way they would like on, returns last year. Is that an area where Devontae Adams would maybe get involved, or maybe Ty Montgomery, who's, I think he was a rookie out of Stanford. That short field anyway with Aaron Rodgers, but it's always nice to take one to the house every now and again.
our Packers superfan also mentions that corners, they lost a lot of depth last year with Tremon Williams and Devon House taking contracts elsewhere. Looking at Casey Hayward to play outside after primarily being slot corner, and I know how that can work with the slot guy moving to the outside. It's a whole different ball game. Also, injuries is something the Packers, I think every team as the preseason begins, are keeping their fingers crossed. Everybody comes out of the game healthy. They've had a bad history of losing starters for the season during preseason games. Balaga 2 years ago, Raji and their starting center last year. So they're hoping to come out of this game healthy, and I think every team is looking to come out of this game healthy.
Hey, Pod, I just wanted to jump in real quick, especially tied to the Jags. Devon House, that's where he went to, is to Jacksonville. So definitely looking at the cornerback depth for the Packers. But they actually – this is a pretty interesting quarterback game. I'm not sure if every game will deliver this, but Packers are trying to make sure Scott Tolzien can be their, number one backup. They'll also have Brett Hundley playing later. And interesting enough, I know the Pats just cut Matt Flynn, or he didn't pass a physical or something, so he won't be playing against the Packers. And behind Garoppolo, if he's having a bad camp, is Ryan Lindley, which sounds kind of scary. But I just want to say it sounds like a pretty interesting QB game going on there in the first preseason game.
From the Patriots standpoint, Ryan Lindley was just signed days ago. I don't think they're going to expect a lot out of him. If they even put him out on the field, that will be interesting to see how much of the game Garoppolo ends up playing. I suspect we're going to see Garoppolo probably for three, if not three and a half quarters tonight. And it'll be interesting to watch his game change depending on the personnel that's on the field with him. Obviously, when he's running with the ones for one or two series and then running with the twos that he's most accustomed to during practice. Moving on to the next game tonight, we've got the New York Jets, who literally...
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
And the Detroit Lions, this game's at Ford Field. If you haven't heard already, I don't know where you've been, but Geno Smith gets sucker punched in the face over an argument about a plane ticket. This is so New York Jets. And when I heard the story, I couldn't stop laughing. Geno now out for probably up to 10 weeks with a broken jaw in two places. I mean, this is the sort of thing, Ron, that we in the AFC East just sit back and go, yep, I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take it, and especially that I know a lot of the NFL fans are thinking, well, Ryan Fitzpatrick's probably a little steadier than Geno Smith. Geno Smith had his way with the Dolphins, and that's sad to say. Unfortunately, last year he produced the only perfect quarterback rating of the season, and it was against us. So I got to be honest with you. We played them week 3 in London, and I'm personally happy that I'm not going to see Geno Smith there.
Yeah, it's not going to be a fun situation in terms of what the quarterback situation's like in New York. I believe they re-signed Michael Vick. So you've got that to look forward to. our Jets superfan AJ, he wrote this a little while ago. Geno has yet to throw a pick in practice this summer. What? You won't be. And then his choice of words was, which on its face doesn't sound like a big deal. Well, I think there's a lot of things on Geno's face right now. We'll definitely be watching the quarterback play for the New York Jets. One of the other things to watch right now is the competition at right guard. Again, we'll see how much the starters play. But if, you know, one of the backups can really step up, that might be something. Ron, you're on the Detroit Lions write up. What are we looking for from Detroit tonight?
Just reading what the Detroit superfan wrote, and of course our own personal opinions are actually the deal position. He feels that, he says, I don't believe that the loss of Sue and Fairley will mean a catastrophic fall of our defense. That should be interesting to see, because a loss of maybe the best defensive tackle ever play the game going to be a little tough to recover from. So I think that's where most Detroit watching that. As just an NFL fan, I'll be watching to see if they start getting trounced up the middle with those guys gone. And they also lost somebody who played a lot of minutes for them in C.J. Mosley at the defensive tackle position too. So they lost 3 of their 4 that they rotated into that spot, and they were number 1 in the league last year in rush. So that'll be where my eyes will be.
Well, Ron, actually, I really know where your eyes are going to be, and that's going to be on the field, Soldier Field, this evening as your Dolphins take on the Bears. What are you hoping out of your Miami Dolphins?
Is the guard play. The last 2 years, we've been one of the worst pass protecting teams in the NFL, and that's when you include pressures, sacks, and hits. We've been bottom 2 years in a row. Our guards, there's just huge questions there. We've got Dallas Thomas, who has not played well. We got a second year guy in Billy Turner coming from Wisconsin, who played maybe a couple games last year because he got hurt in training camp last year. And then we're waiting for Brandon Albert, our all-pro left tackle, to come back, but he won't be in preseason games, so we'll be looking to see who's over there on the left side. And Kate Albert can't come back. So it's really going to be all eyes on the offensive line mostly.
Well, and as you're looking at your offensive line, the Bears are looking at their defense, wondering how Shea McClellan will look at inside line. Who will start on that defensive line? Defensive coordinator Vic Fangio said last week that the defensive line, literally Jeremiah Ratliff and a bunch of other guys fighting for roster spots. So that will be something that Bears fans have to watch for. And who will win the competition at safety? A lot of things inside of the ball for them to go up against the offensive line that you're watching there, Ron. So we can look forward to that. Daniel, next game up is that Washington team. They are at Cleveland to face the Browns at First Energy Stadium. What are our super fans looking at here, Daniel?
I think, well, looking at the Redskins write-up that was put on Facebook, it's all about RG3 and how he's going to adapt, wants to develop him as a quarterback. And, you know, it says in the write-up, you know, I want to see RG3 look like an NFL quarterback that can throw the ball and make reads in a timely fashion. And I'd also like to see his happy feet stay in the pocket and not drift into Russian defenders. You know, I know all about happy feet with Peyton Manning, but obviously it's a different kind of happy feet with RG3 because he just has to constantly escape the pocket. And I think Jay Gruden's trying to really train him to stay, you know, and get the ball out to people like Pierre Garçon. But I think that'll be the number one thing they're looking for. And on the side of the ball, can Ryan Kerrigan live up to that second contract? And then for Cleveland, I know, do we even touch on Johnny Manziel? Is it worth it? Or is it the Josh McCown train?
I mean, that's sort of the question, right? I mean, how much does Cleveland put Johnny Manziel on the field? Your guess is as good as mine.
Yeah, no, they keep on hearing these reports on ESPN and SI.com that the coaches are really buying into Johnny Manziel, and you don't know if that's just media hype or he is, you know, learn to, you know, put the beard down and get on the field.
Yeah. Our Browns super fan is very curious about who's going to start at running back. Isaiah Crowell apparently is the odds on favorite to win, but he hasn't stepped up. And Duke Johnson, who they drafted this year, has been out with hamstring issues. They still have Tristan Sean Draw, but they've suffered injuries during camp as well. So the Browns experiencing some of the injury bug. They'll be watching the defensive rookies, seeing which guys perform in tonight's game and who will grab that last spot on the wide receiver team. Our Brown superfan actually never even mentions Johnny Manziel or Josh McCown, which means he's ready to move on from the Johnny Manziel era. Ryan, let's talk about the last game tonight. You can watch it on the NFL Network. That is Dallas Cowboys and the San Diego Superchargers. What are our superfans watching tonight in this game?
Well, if you're looking for some sort of interest in the preseason, I feel like the Cowboys definitely have it. Little disappointing to me, our Cowboys guy mentions in his write-up that Randall, McFadden, and Dunbar are assumed to be out of action for the opener, so we won't really get a beat on the running back position after DeMarco Murray left. But to me, you know, you got Rand Gregory and Lel Collins and Greg Hardy and just a bunch of interesting characters that'll all be in their first action, it appears. But also on his write-up, he does talk about the backup quarterback, and, you know, it's still Brandon Whedon right there, which would be a little scary for me, again, if Tony Romo goes down. But, you know, you do have a lot of interesting guys playing for the Dallas Cowboys. And for the Chargers, he mentions that, you know, a lot of people are going to be excited about Melvin Gordon, which, like, I'm sure I would be. But he's really focused on the offensive line. They added Orlando Franklin and returned Chris Watt from injury. So he wants to see a big improvement just from those guys. And he happens to mention one guy I like a lot, and that's Jason Verrett. He was a cornerback, I think, from TCU. And I know he played pretty well last year, and he says that he had a season-ending injury, which I forgot until I read this. So he should be back to playing this game, so hopefully he's back to full form. And he says, look out for Denzel Perriman, who I know we were talking a lot about leading up to the draft at middle linebacker. So he should be making his action there and see how their couple of rookie linebackers do in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the rookies, the backups, seeing how the bottom half of your team is going to fill out. That's what we're looking at here in week one. And Melvin Gordon is one of those guys that many people feel isn't going to be the backup or the rookie for very long. And I think that's why nationally, you know, most fans are interested in watching what Melvin Gordon's going to do. But as we hear, the super fans know, it's about the beef up front that helps the running backs move forward. And so keeping an eye on the front line, that's what the super fans are here for. We let you know exactly the things that you don't necessarily want to watch. We'll do that for you. You just keep watching Melvin Gordon. We'll watch the beef on the front. Ron, we're moving on now to Friday. We got Tennessee at Atlanta. What's happening?
All right, guys. I think the Titans fans are going to have all eyes for sure on Marcus Mariota. It's rumored he has not thrown a pick in the entire camp, which that's pretty amazing. Sounds like they may be playing it safe, kind of taking them all. So many rumors going into the draft that they may trade that away for, I don't know, there was a few different players named. So let's see what Mariota does. I think that's where the Tennessee fans will be looking.
And in Atlanta, my favorite team, my boyfriends of the NFL season this year. I'm going to be watching to see what happens on that defensive side of the ball. The Dan Quinn era is going to begin. We'll see if they can pick off Marcus Mariota. Other things that they're looking for is the new offensive line, seeing how they perform. Running back on the roster with Devontae Freeman and Devin Coleman sidelined with hamstring issues. So some good things to watch there. By the way, Tim was a guest on the Sports Gal Pal podcast. I was also a guest recently on Ramona's show. And you can check out at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes, wherever great podcasts are heard. All of our super fans are making an appearance on the Sports Gal Pal, trying to help those non-sports fans find out what exactly goes into the psychology of being a sports fan. She was rather taken with Tim. She mentioned that Tim might be her favorite right now, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was on with her. Apparently, I'm not her favorite, so I just have to get better. I guess that wasn't what getting better looks like either, and I'll just I'll take it with a grain of salt. Sorry.
Well, you know, sometimes
they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
We can't all be Tim and the Falcons. Let's be real.
No, apparently we can't. All right, next game up here, Daniel, our Australian over in England. You're my wife's favorite. Well, actually, I think English Simon is, but maybe after she listens to this, you could grab it. You could grab that title. Carolina is at Ralph Wilson Stadium. What's happening for our super fans there?
I'm going to be really interested for Carolina to see Shaq Thompson, because I think they've adopted the same approach the New York Giants took, where they kept on drafting, you know, defensive linemen and really strengthening a point of strength on their team. And Shaq Thompson is going to be added into the mix with Thomas Davis and Luke Kuechly as that first rounder. So I'm really interested to see him, because I've heard lots of good things of camp. And I guess the secondary is also a big, big point of emphasis. Charles Tillman and Roman Harper bringing that veteran presence. And on the other side, it's Cam. Can he stop fighting on the practice field, which he seems to be doing quite often at the moment? The other side for Buffalo, thing I'm looking at is the line.
Well, we know what happens in Buffalo. I mean, they grabbed the guy who hit Geno Smith in the mouth.
We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Yeah, let's go and be that bully. Let's go and take him. So why not take someone from your old team, you know, and see if he can bring that, you know, punch them in the mouth for a change. They've got John Connor as well. It just seems to be New York Jets light over in Buffalo at the moment. I've heard things about Tyrod Taylor this offseason. And the other one is Cyrus Quanjo, who they drafted out of Alabama. He's had a bit of knee soreness recently. And Chantrell Henderson stepped in and apparently kept him out of the lineup and pushed him to the second unit.
Listen, Matt Castle is no Tom Brady, I know, but not a bad quarterback. He is not a bad quarterback. He is a replacement level quarterback. If he can, you know, protect that football, do a little better, and maybe even stay a little healthy. He's had a couple injuries. You know, Matt Castle could actually serve Buffalo Bills fans quite well. And with Rex Ryan leading a defense that was already fairly strong, you know, the Bills could make some noise in this division, Ron, but ultimately I don't think they will.
I mean, they're okay. I mean, they won 9-7. They were 9-7 last year, but I mean, your strengths were running the ball and playing defense. So I would think you'd want to improve the weaknesses. Instead, you brought a coach that run the ball and plays good defense, and that formula proved to have Rex to have a losing career record. Like, not last year, but his entire career record is a losing record, not even as good as Joe Philbin's. So that's all I'm saying.
Your eyes on Friday night are going to be glued to Everbank Field, where the Pittsburgh Steelers come in to play your Jacksonville Jaguars. And now, the Jaguars have been one of those teams the past few years where, you know, we like to make fun of them. We often mention that, you know, this is going to happen.
With the first pick in the NFL draft.
Oh.
But, you know, how are you feeling? How are you feeling going in here into week one of the preseason with the Jacksonville Jaguars?
I am feeling all right. I know, like you said, I'll definitely be excited to watch this game. My eyes will be glued to it, of course. You know, I'm not feeling like we're in the playoffs or anything like that, but the nice thing is that there are actual battles going on and we're not just kind of flat out hoping that somebody steps up in a starting position. Seems to be more straightforward that we have enough guys who can start, which sounds really sad, but that's what we were going through the last couple years is just like center last year. There was a so-called battle, but really it was between two guys who never started at center, and there was a free safety battle, but a bunch of two centers, and I think the starting free safety got cut before the regular season even ended. So that's how last season was. This year, hopefully Blake Bortles is improved, and that's what we're going to see. Not too much in the first game, but that's what I'm really hoping for, is that all that isn't just talk and he comes out and plays a little better. He had a really, really tough situation last year, and I know everyone likes to say that he looked bad and point to his numbers, and sure, some of that is true, but he had so many rookies and young guys to deal with on offense, so I'm giving him a pass and seeing what he does this year. A lot of those questions were on the O-line, so definitely focusing it up there, just like some other teams. And running back is a really interesting group. It's suddenly gone from kind of a nothing position to something that's deep, because TJ Yeldon, who is not going to play, should be the starter. Denard Robinson as the backup. And there's like four other guys who could get some playing time. A couple guys just to watch, like in case maybe nobody even knows they're on the Jaguars. But if anyone remembers the quarterback, Nick Marshall, he's now playing cornerback. And he's getting a lot. He was undrafted, but the Jags signed him. And he was getting a lot of praise and just attention from the whole team. So it'll be exciting to see him go against some real competition and see if he can stick with those guys. He might be a project for a couple of years, but Nick Marshall's on the Jags and he apparently is looking pretty good. And just some craziness that came up this week is supposedly, and I almost don't want to believe it, our kicker, Josh Scobie, he might be in trouble, I guess. There's this guy with some strong leg.
No.
Who, yeah, I don't even know. He's like, he kicked a couple long field goals in their scrimmage, and some people are saying, yeah, maybe this is a real thing. I couldn't even, I don't know. It'd be very weird not to see Scobie in Jacksonville next year.
It'd be really weird to see Scobie gone this year, which ultimately what would happen. I mean, no team.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah,
it's very rare to see a team carry two kickers for sure. And speaking of kickers, Pittsburgh lost their kicker in their first preseason game. We've already seen the Pittsburgh Steelers play some football. And Sean Squeesum is out with a torn ACL. In comes Garrett Hartley, another ageless wonder. But Hartley, I don't know if Hartley's really known to have a great leg. And Hartley, his best years happen in New Orleans, which they play in a dome. Heinz Field, quite possibly one of the toughest stadiums to kick the football in. And now that the extra point has been moved back to the 15-yard line, you know, kicking is going to be something that the Steelers are going to be in. And Scobie could be a guy that the Steelers target if he were to be cut. Other things that our Steelers superfan is looking forward to, more Landry Jones, the backup quarterback to Ben Roethlisberger. He liked what he saw from him in that first game. Dre Archer also looks to be becoming a nice weapon for the Steelers to use at their leisure. And he wants to see more of Alejandro Villanueva at left tackle. He was at Philly last year. He's 6'9", currently about 340 pounds. So he's a big, big boy there in Pittsburgh.
I was just going to say that I was reading earlier that the whole thing with him is that he gained about 100 pounds from last year. So he's definitely an interesting watch.
Certainly. Ron, next
up. To Cincinnati.
That's right. It's the Giants at Cincinnati in particular. What are our super fans watching in this game?
For sure, for the Giants, it's O-line. You know, they had Will Beatty out for the season, torn pectoral, bench pressing. They've got a rookie they drafted, I believe, ninth overall, Eric Flowers. So they're going to be watching the O-line. I know Jake Long, former Dolphin, former Ram, has made a couple visits to New York, but they, for whatever reason, nothing's been signed. So Jake Long's still sitting out there as a free agent who's very capable. I mean, he was a first overall pick in the draft in 2008, I believe. But I know it's really beat up, so he probably just wants a little bit more money. But I know the Giants will be like the Dolphins. They're going to be watching their O-line mostly. And then, of course, Victor Cruz, not sure how much action he'll see during the preseason, but he's coming back from that Achilles, which has been known to be an injury that wide receivers suspect not come back well from. The explosiveness, they lose speed. There's been a lot of talk out of camp that he's looking great. But, I mean, that it's hard to believe coming from an Achilles that he'll be the Victor Cruz we're used to seeing. So I believe that's where the eyes of the Giants fans will be on.
English Simon writes up that it's playoff win or bust for the Bengals this season. In week one of the preseason, he's watching the defensive line. So that should be a fun battle to watch as guys are trying to win jobs in Cincinnati on the D-line, and the New York Giants are watching their offense and try and come together. He also mentions tight end as another position he's got his eyes on. Tyler Eifert has lit up training camp again. Of course, you got to be careful of those tight ends that light up training camp. Zach Sudfeld, you know, you never know. Moving now to St. Louis at Oakland, Daniel. This is a late game at the O.co Coliseum. What are our super fans watching here?
I think the first thing for St. Louis will be Nick Foles, who got his big payday, you know, getting out of, you know, Philadelphia. I don't think he'll play a lot, but interested to see how he gets on. And also the offensive line, you know, Greg Robinson and Roger Saffold coming off injury, how they plug in, and the two rookie starters at right guard and right tackling, Brown and Havenstein, who I really wanted Tampa to, he got stolen by the St. Louis Rams. I guess the other thing, other point of intrigue would be Todd Gurley, since Jeff Fisher is really investing in the offensive line and running back, to see how he plays him and how he bloods him into this new offense, and if he is the new Eddie George. And on the other side, Oakland, I guess Tavius Moore will be interesting. Also Rodney Hudson, who they traded for from... is he a free agent from Kansas City? I can't remember.
You're asking the wrong guy.
I think they traded, but and Amari Cooper. I mean, the preseason to me is about the draft picks and the rookies and seeing how they get on with their teammates and actually seeing the NFL for the first time. So Amari Cooper and his relationship with Derek Carr will be really important. And then Khalil Mack's being listed as a defensive end on the depth chart. You know, and it's going to be all about getting to the quarterback for that roster. So those are the things I would look for.
You know, one note here from Monty, our Raiders super fan, that you won't necessarily be able to see, but you'll be able to hear, and you can certainly watch. The NFL Network tends to most of these preseason games are done locally or by the team, and then they're distributed through the area, not necessarily done by the big national teams that we see on CBS and Fox every Sunday. And so for the Raiders, it's going to be interesting to watch the game listening to Hall of Famer Touchdown Timmy Brown, Matt Millen, and play-by-play announcer Beth Mowins. If she can work in a Holy Toledo or Touchdown Raiders, I think she'll be just fine. So a female play-by-play host, we don't get that often. I know there's been some headway there in terms of the college with female play-by-play announcers, but we haven't really had one on pro football games. So this will definitely be one to keep an eye on. Our last game Friday night is Denver at Seattle, the Super Bowl losers. It's at CenturyLink Field. What do we got to look forward to here, Ryan?
Hey, you got kind of two Super Bowl losers playing here. I'm just saying, maybe this will end 43-8 as well. Just taking some Lee and Peyton Manning's failures. But anyway, let's talk about the preseason, which is definitely not about Peyton Manning because he's a proven commodity, although it'll be interesting to see how he plays this year. For Denver, we got the super fan talking about, again, the O-line, which, again, like I said, will tell you that O-line is huge, as we're all pretty much mentioning it. But Tyson Brallo, the rookie, he has to take over for Ryan Clady, who got injured. So he's interested to see how he'll do. And I imagine a lot of other people will be as well, because he was a high pick for the Broncos. He's wondering about Sly Williams. You know, he's a first-round pick back in 2013 and says he hasn't been impressive. And their inside linebackers have been battling injuries, so he's wondering about the middle of the D. And he wonders how Monty Ball will fit in Gary Kubiak's zone-blocking scheme. And that reminds me of a lot of people's darling, which is C.J. Anderson. I know they have him at running back as well. I'm interested to see how he does this season. I don't know about in the first preseason game. And, you know, they just have a new coaching staff there in general. So we'll see how their first preseason action goes. They'll be looking at backup QB as well. The great Brock Osweiler, who's still kind of an unknown, I know, at least to me.
The backup quarterback situation in Denver. Because yeah. We mentioned on our divisional preview, when we talked about the AFC West, everyone seems to be worried about Peyton Manning being that one hit away from the being over, never mind the season being over. And who is going to be that guy behind him? Everyone sort of assumes it's Brock Osweiler, but our Broncos superfan mentions they drafted a kid in the 7th round by the name of Trevor Siemian, and they've got Zach Dysart still in the mix. Now, neither of those names necessarily ring Peyton Manning through and through. But similar to the New England Patriots, who have Jimmy Garoppolo now sitting in the wings, and he may or may not be forced into some regular season action, this bad quarterback situation is definitely one to watch there in Denver. And as we move to Seattle here, Ryan, sorry to have jumped in on you there. Seattle superfan. Our Seattle superfan is definitely looking forward to seeing how they implement Jimmy Graham into the offense. Well, we're not really going to see that this week. They'll play a series or two. Now, obviously, Wilson throwing, you know, three or four targets at Jimmy Graham's way in that first and second drive, then clearly we're going to have an idea of how Jimmy Graham's going to be implemented into the offense. But beyond that, really on the Seahawks, it's going to be watching how the wide receiver competition, they've got Baldwin and Curse at the top, but you know, how it fills out beyond that will be what he's watching.
Just real quick. One guy he mentions, if Malcolm Butler doesn't make that interception, I don't know if it will quite get remembered this way, but Chris Matthews was the dude catching everything, and I don't even know if I saw him make any play or do anything all season, and all of a sudden in the Super Bowl, he was like a go-to guy and making plays. So I just wonder if he'll step up and be somebody who is going to be on the roster for a long time, or if he just had one good game in the Super Bowl, which it could go either way.
Yeah, I think a lot of that, too, might have been the Patriots defensive scheme not necessarily being ready for that guy, but you know, you always got to be ready. You always got to be ready. Ron, we're moving on now to San Francisco at Houston, but wait a second, Ron, before you get into this, I have a special guest joining us. It is our temporary Houston super fan. That would be Zach, the All-Star, here with his report stream on the Houston Texans. Zach, go ahead.
We have O'Brien saying not ready to name starting quarterback and won't rush it.
Oh, that's big news.
Watt consumes up to 9,000 calories per day.
That is a big diet.
McNair on Ray Rice. All of the running backs on Texans are better than him.
Interesting. Arian Foster, that's going to be something to watch there. You're supposed to be prepared. What is this?
Clowney is on track to return to practice on August 17th.
All right, that's great. That'll do it for the Houston Texans report, as we are without a Houston Texans superfan. And until we get one, that's what you're going to get, Houston. That's what we're providing you. We're providing you Zach the All-Star with the Bleacher Report updates on the Houston Texans. Ron, what does our 49ers superfan have to say? I guess another guy is retiring. Is that happening? See that?
Probably someone just retired while we were recording. You almost have to feel bad for him. As not a San Fran fan, I feel bad for that team. How are they going to recover? But Charlie, our super fan, feels pretty good about the linebacker position, even though Patrick Willis and Chris Borland are gone. The Navarro Bowman, they got Will Hoyts, and he says Will Hoyts, a guy that played 98% of snaps last year, so they were kind of grooming and ready, expecting perhaps that at least Patrick Willis would be exiting. So they've been getting prepared for that. It was the Chris Borland thing that took him by surprise. And he's very excited to see that as a big upgrade over Michael Crabtree. And Torrey Smith drew the most pass interference penalties last year of any wide receiver. So he's excited about that. And that should be a nice weapon for Kaepernick as well.
It's an interesting game to watch, if only because we don't have a Houston Texans superfan. The San Francisco 49ers just seem to be crumbling. I should mention, this is we're now on to Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. The other game, there's two other games here on Saturday. And Daniel, this will be the one that your eyes will be glued to as your Tampa Bay Buccaneers travel to Minnesota to take on the Vikings at TCF Bank Stadium. What are you going to be watching here, your team?
I've said this in my write-up, but I'm really interested to see how both the offensive line and the backs work together, because we were absolutely awful on the offensive line last year. And Donovan Smith, who drafted in the second round out of Penn State, has apparently just been put straight into left tackle. And people at training camp, Robert Klemko, .com, has that he's a bit up and down, and that'll be the one thing that holds Winston back. And the other one is Ali Marpet, who is the right guard, and there's talk about him just being put straight in the lineup. I'm quite pleased we've got Mank, we've got Evan Dietrich Smith from the Packers, so at least we've got that veteran presence there. But I'm always nervous anytime you put a rookie offensive tackling. And the other thing is, Doug Martin hasn't really delivered after that rookie season, mainly due to injury. There's an awful lot of Charles Sims last year, and he's going to develop catching passes out of the backfield. And I want to see if he actually takes snaps away from Doug Martin. Because if anything, in the preseason, you notice what the coaches are looking for by the amount of snaps they give to certain players. And I think Charles Sims will get an awful lot of snaps in this. The other thing is defense. George Johnson, after we signed him to the offer sheet from the Detroit Lions, we actually traded for him. Be interesting to see how he gets on with Jakeese Smith on the other side. I noticed we got Tony McDaniel the other day from the ex-Seattle tackle. Rotation in the middle there with McCoy and also Henry Melton. I think that's a really nice mix there, and I think we'll be able to put a lot more pressure on the quarterback. But for me, I just look at the safety position. I am so nervous about the safety position, because I mean, you look at this, it's Bryant, DJ Swearinger, Bradley McDougald and Chris Conte. I mean, I have no faith in that whatsoever, and I think we're going to get burned deep down the middle this year. So I'm so nervous about that. And again, like I've said, the preseason's about just learning about yourself. So I'd like to see how we get on there, offensive tackles. because they've got Matt Khalil and Phil Loadholt. I want to see how that rotation works and how they Lovey actually implements this new style cover too, you know, and create pressure just with that front four. Fairly good off tackle group.
How much do you think we'll see of famous Jameis in this game?
I think we'll see maybe three or four series. I've heard things that make me really, really scared out of training camp, and I've heard things that make me really, really pleased out of training camp. Apparently, in, I think it was a couple of days ago, he threw a pick on the first and third pass of the day. Because he was just trying to fit it in that hole. Because he, you know, he's Jameis. He can walk into a bar and grab legs. You know, put a pass past, you know, Levante David's ear. And I think he's having to learn how to sort of tail that back. And he's quite a cocky, confident person. So why wouldn't he be able to just lob bombs to Mike Evans? And I think he's spending this a lot more difficult in the. I think we'll. A bit. They might just throw the whole playbook at him and see how he gets on.
That'll be interesting to watch for sure. You mentioned worried about your secondary getting bombed through the middle. I'm not believing in water. We probably won't see a lot of him on Saturday night anyway. What's interesting, though, is the backups that are behind him. We've got Sean Hill and Mike Kafka and then Henke. You know, Hill, I think, has some modicum of success here in the NFL. Kafka seems to be an everyman, journeyman backup quarterback. So we'll watch the Vikings there. We don't have a write-up from our Vikings superfan. Naughty, naughty, shame on him. We may have to crack the whip a little bit harder next time to make sure we get these in on time. Ryan, we're going to move on now to the Kansas City Chiefs, Arizona Cardinals. What are our superfans watching in this game?
Well, of course, the offensive line. And yeah, apparently, he says that there hasn't been – the team has – I'll just read it verbatim. The team has yet to stick with the same five starting offensive linemen for more than a few practices at a time this year. So that's pretty interesting. There's definitely some shuffling going on, and he says that the preseason will factor heavily into the competition at center, right guard, and right tackle. So maybe the whole right side of their line, the middle to the right, is going to be – shaky this year. I don't know. I'll have to see how that competition plays out. Of course, Jeremy Maclin's now there. I don't know how much he'll play in the first game, but he's also just one about the middle of the defense because Derek Johnson returns and wonders if it'll make up for the absence of Dontari Poe against the run. Marcus Peters, the first round corner, should be playing, but probably the most important thing, which I wasn't sure if he was going to play. It seems like he is. Eric Berry returns from battling lymphoma, and he's going to be able to play in this preseason game. And I just think that's very, very great to hear. You know, he's a great player, obviously, and just going through something like that, being able to come on the field, I just love seeing that, especially with how I'm sure it didn't seem fast to him or anybody, but just to the outside eye, it just seems relatively fast, and I'm glad he'll be hitting the field again for sure.
Drew Brooks, our Arizona Cardinals superfan, mentions offensive, specifically watching the guards on that offensive line. Quarterback, very important to the Cardinals with Carson Palmer. Health has actually been an issue across the depth chart during training camp so far. Backup running back is a wide open race, so they'll be watching to see if they can separate themselves and separate themselves from rumored CJ0K.
Yeah.
Ron?
Separate yourself. That's what I say.
Ron, you have the pleasure of bringing us the final game of the week. It is on Sunday at 1 o'clock. It'll be on the NFL Network from Lincoln Financial Field, the Indianapolis Colts at the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, there are a few people out there that might say if this wasn't a preseason game, it could be a preview of what we see at the end of the season as well. I would not be party to those people, but you know, Colts and Eagles, they're definite contenders.
Well, the Colts superfan, who has written very little, seems extremely confident about his team, so I'll read a little bit about what he wrote. There's really not a whole lot he's answered in week one of the season, looking for the Colts to score a quick touchdown and get off the field. I'm curious to see who will start at left guard, center, and wide receiver three. Defensive focus will be the D-line. I mean, that's pretty confident considering the trouncing that you took the last game you played at the England. So perhaps you're not concerned about this. Didn't they allow like 40 points? And that was even after they threw in the new inflated balls. It got crushed more. So very confident. I think this Colts super fan might need to be cut down a little during the season. I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, the Colts are right now everybody's darling. Mark is our Sunday night host. He'll have all the recap, by the way, so you get to look forward to that Sunday evening here on Next Fan Up. I don't know who's currently scheduled to join him, but right now during the preseason, our super fans are working sort of on a volunteer basis. We'll have the battle of the super fans once again on our preview shows once the regular season kicks off, and that is always a blast. But Sitko here is looking at quarterbacks, which is interesting, saying based on training camp coverage coming out of Eagles camp, Bradford looks great, is a clear step up from both Sanchez or Foles in arm strength and accuracy. They're obviously going to be watching Sam Bradford's knees very closely as they want to make sure he stays healthy for the entire season. D'Amico Ryan and Ryan Matthews, downhill runners, better in chip system than Shady McCoy. That's a big question mark. He loves to take shots at Dallas. Dallas thinks they have the best offensive line in football, but we stole last year's top running back in the NFL from them this offseason. Our offensive line is not too shabby either, having won the rushing title the year before. If they can avoid injuries that plagued them in 2015, I think the Eagles are going to run for defenses with Murray and Matthews. That's going to be interesting. And he's titled them. I don't know if he's given them this nickname or if the folks in Philly have. Rolling Thunder for DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews. Watching some defensive improvements and seeing if Chip Kelly is going to light it up again on offense. I'm sure he will. That's what Chip Kelly likes to do. Ron, any thoughts here from the Eagles? Because we know Mark is fairly confident as well.
I mean, they do have DeMarco Murray, but let's face it, they were ready to ride or die with Ryan Matthews till DeMarco Murray dropped in their lap. Let's not pretend that was some grand Chip Kelly scheme, because it wasn't. That was just kind of lucky. But, you know, be that as it may, let's see how it goes. The thing that's overlooked so much is they've been last in the league 2 years in a row in time of possession, so their defense plays more than any other defense. They're on the field more than any other defense in the NFL. That's great when you're playing bad teams and you're playing good teams. You're not going to score as much as you score. Some of those drives become shorter drives for your offense. You keep putting your defense out there like that. I mean, you're not going to win Super Bowls that way, and I know that's their goal. They think Chip Kelly's bringing them to a Super Bowl. I think the formula needs to be changed a little bit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. So, Daniel, let's give everybody one last shot. What's the biggest thing they should be watching for from the Buccaneers this week?
I just think, really, it's about that offensive chemistry, how they all get on, how Jameis leads that huddle. You know, do they respond to him? Can he get quickly enough? And then on the defensive side, just defensive line gels and really attacks the quarterback. Those are the two things I would look for.
Ryan, what's the one thing to watch for from the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Since this is week one and we're not going to see many of the starters for the Jaguars, I'm going to say the linebackers, because after the starters, they pretty much have nobody. They have some guys who played last year who are okay, I guess, But they have Paul Posluszny, Dan Scuda, and Telvin Smith, who may be a breakout player soon. I just need people to know about him. They're the starters. After that, there is like zero depth. So I'm just interested to see in week one. A lot of the backups are definitely going to play a lot of long, many minutes. So I'm just looking to see if any other linebacker can do something.
And Ron, what's the one big thing to take away from the Miami Dolphins in week one?
All right, I already talked about O-line, so I'm going to go a different place. And that's definitely the linebacking core. They really have not settled in on even their starting middle linebacker. You got on the outside, you got Jelani to come in for injury last year in the first game of season against New England and played well and continued to play well throughout the season. But then you've been rotating Koa Misi, who was his first year at middle linebacker last year, but he was hurt. Kelvin Shepard, who played for the Colts and the Bills previously, we brought him on the middle last year. Chris McCain, who was an undrafted free agent last year, but would have been drafted probably as high as third round, but he was considered to have some off-the-field issues, to say it nicely. They've really been taking those three guys, and we don't know where they're settling.
And from New England, I mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo. I mentioned the defensive backfield, the secondary for the Patriots. I don't know if there'll be another quarterback that's going to play as much as Jimmy Garoppolo, I suspect, is going to end up playing in the first preseason game. We're going to be seeing Ryan Lindley, who was signed 2 days ago and probably knows about as much of the playbook as I do. And since I'm not, and since my only knowledge of the Patriots playbook is from Madden Football, the official video game, I'd like to add, that is not a paid sponsorship yet. But maybe it could be. I don't suspect if Ryan Lindley plays, he's gonna light anything up. It's gonna be more about him just sort of getting his feet wet, getting used to his teammates. And I would imagine we'll see a lot of the running game. Perhaps we can see more James White at running back, sort of the forgotten guy right now in the Patriots backfield. And that's definitely a battle that I'll be interested in watching. That noise that you heard is the fact that I got to get going. Daniel, Ryan, Ron, thanks very much for joining me here on the first ever preview edition of Next Fan Up, as we previewed all of week one here of the NFL preseason. Be back again on Sunday. As I mentioned, Mark Sitka will be back hosting recaps, and he'll be talking with the super fans, going over the big takeaways from all these games that we just previewed. And I, of course, will be back again next Thursday with another group of super fans previewing week two. Remember, Houston, and if you want to continue to hear Zach the All-Star with headline updates about your team, then don't lie to become the Texans super fan. However, I'm pretty sure you do want somebody who's a little bit more knowledgeable about your team. Apply now, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can reach us on Twitter at NFU Podcast. And of course, you can see all the write-up Ben talking about today on facebook.com/NFU Podcast. As I like to say, there you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.